This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in wa ala tabi'ina wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'du. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. إن شاء الله, the four Sundays that we have in Ramadan, we will discuss four ahadith from الأربعين النووية. We'll choose four بإذن الله تعالى from الأربعين النووية. الأربعين النووية, the excellence of these ahadith is in that they are representative of Islam. These 40 hadith summarize Islam. So all of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is summarized in the 40 hadith. And as we will come to see today, some of the scholars like Imam al-Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad, Ishaq ibn Rahawayh, and others, they actually bring the sunnah down, usul al-sunnah, that all of the sunnah, all of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, all of the religion of Islam boils down to three hadiths. And they are from Al-Arba'in Nawawi. And some of them, they say Islam, all of it boils down to four hadith. One of them is this. One of them is this. So this is the importance of this. So sometimes people want to learn a lot, but when you are systematic in your learning, in learning Islam, when you learn the most important things, that's when you really most learn most efficiently. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, he said, Al-Rabbaniyun, in the Quran, there is a mention of Al-Rabbaniyun from among Bani Israel, and also they are present in others. Al-Rabbaniyun, they are the scholars, قال Al-Rabbaniyun, الذين يعلمون الناس صغار العلم قبل كباره. They are the ones who start with the most basic and most important of knowledge when they teach others before they give them the detailed and the more nuanced type of knowledge. This is how knowledge is approached. This is how it was approached. So this is why, for example, in the Quran, the whole of the Quran is summarized in Surah Al-Fatiha. The first thing a Muslim should master from the Quran is Al-Fatiha. And that's what you need in your salah. Because the summary of the Quran, the whole Quran, is in Al-Fatiha. And the most important verse in the Fatiha that summarizes not only Surah Al-Fatiha and not only the whole Quran, but it summarizes all of the revelation that Allah sent to all His prophets and messengers. It is إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. When you understand this verse, you understand all of Islam. You understand all of Islam, the foundation of Islam. The rest of the Quran, the rest of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is an explanation of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. So when you learn the most foundational, the most central, then you start to branch out gradually. Your knowledge is systematic, is very well organized. You are able to implement it. You are able to prioritize. And your knowledge is not about showing off, it's about practicality. It's about how practical it is. Then you will get the most out of this knowledge. So you learn the Fatiha from the Quran. After Al-Fatiha, what do you think the early generations would teach? A question. What would they give priority after Al-Fatiha to? What would they teach? So they say, you have to learn this and you have to memorize it before anything else. What? Well, it's bigger than that, but it includes Surah Al-Ikhlas. Al-Mufassal. Al-Mufassal. What is Al-Mufassal? That's what the early generations used to teach their children and the new Muslims. Someone wanted to start to memorize, they would say, you start with this. There's a lot of narrations from the companions and from the Tabi'een that they would start teaching. Obviously, after Al-Fatiha, they would start teaching Al-Mufassal and they would require their children to memorize Al-Mufassal. What is Al-Mufassal? No. Al-Mufassal. What's Al-Mufassal? It includes Surah Al-Asr. What is Al-Mufassal? Al-Mufassal. the last four juz plus. So you're talking about, let's say, from Surah Qaf, okay? Some say Surah Al-Hujurat, not Al-Qaf, from Qaf to An-Nas. From Surah Qaf to An-Nas. Why? Because the Qur'an itself is summarized in Al-Mufassal. And Al-Mufassal is summarized in Al-Fatiha. So that's a represent, that's a congested, that's the most, how can I say, condensed. You want to condense the Qur'an, 30 juz, you want to condense it, you want to get the summary of it, the most important aspects of it, the most central parts of it, you go to Al-Mufassal. You go to Al-Mufassal, which is about 4 plus juz. That's how you summarize it. So, the same approach is with hadith. The same approach with hadith. You want to learn hadith? The most important thing for you to learn, the most representative that really captures the spirit of the sunnah is Al-Arba'in al-Nawawiyyah. Arba'in al-Nawawiyyah. And what to start from Al-Arba'in al-Nawawiyyah? You can start the same order Imam al-Nawawi put them in, but you can also start according to the three hadith that we will come to mention them, inshallah, from the words of Imam Ahmad and others, bi'idhnillah ta'ala. The hadith of today is, some scholars consider it to be the most important hadith in Islam, that Imam al-Bukhari, when he wrote his Sahih, he decided to put this as the opening of his book, of Sahih al-Bukhari, the first hadith. Not only Imam al-Bukhari, but also others. Most of the books of hadith start with the hadith, نعم. The hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab رضي الله عنه. عن عمر رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله ومن كانت هجرته لدنيا يصيبها أو امرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. Translation from Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, I heard Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, indeed, actions are by intentions. And every person will get what they have intended. So he whose migration is for Allah and his Messenger, then his migration is for Allah and his Messenger, the purpose of his migration. And he whose migration is for a worldly gain to be attained, or a wife that he seeks to marry, then his migration for whatever he migrated for. His migration is for whatever he migrated for. That's the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we want to take some, highlight the importance of this hadith. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala said, هذا الحديث ثلث العلم. This hadith is a third of the knowledge. Knowledge of what? Al-Islam. It captures a third of Al-Islam. 33% of Al-Islam is captured in this hadith. وَيَدْخُلُ فِي سَبْعِينَ بَابًا مِنَ الْفِقْهِ. And this book has something to say about 70 chapters in fiqh. Al-Imam Ahmad قال أصول الإسلام على ثلاثة أحاديث. The foundations of Islam. Islam stands on three ahadith, three statements from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. حديث عمر, this one, حديث الأعمال بالنيات, وحديث عائشة, من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. He who introduces something new into this affair of Islam, then he will have it rejected. وحديث النعمان بن بشير الحلال بين والحرام بين. And the hadith narrated by نعمان بن بشير رضي الله عنه that halal is clear and haram is clear and between them there are gray matters, right? So he says these are the three hadith that capture Islam. Islam stands on them, and there are others. some people replace one of those hadith with another one, but this occurs in all of the statements of the scholars that these are the pillars of Al-Islam. Abu Dawood, the author of Sunan Abi Dawood, same thing, he said the same thing. Okay. The meaning of innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat. The Prophet ﷺ says innama. Innama in the Arabic language, adatu hasr. Adatu hasr. Exclusion. It's a preposition for exclusion. It indicates exclusion. What does that mean? It's exclusive. That means actions are by their intentions exclusively. So what does this mean? Two meanings. Again, discussed by Imam Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad again. Imam Ibn Muflih Al-Hanbali, rahimahullah ta'ala, the student of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he says, the statements of the scholars boil down to two meanings of this. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Deeds or actions are by intentions. He says, the reality of actions and deeds is their intentions. First meaning. The reality of actions is by their intentions. That's number one. Number two, the acceptance and the reward for actions is contingent on intentions. It relies and is determined by their intentions. And both meanings are correct, and they actually feed into each other. The first one, the reality of actions is in intentions. That means we need to understand what actions. And by the way, subhanAllah, when you read the statements of the companions, tabi'een, the early generations, a lot of us, we think they were very simple-minded people. These people were very intelligent. Were very intelligent. It's only us, modern people, people who live in the modern time, we have swallowed the arrogance of our modern time. We look down upon every other segment of humanity. We think we are the apex of intelligence. And when we fail to understand something, we usually write it off as dumb. But you know what? It's just, it's our simple minds are unable to understand the complexity or the depth of such statements. So the scholars, they would consider an action by its intention. Why? Because the action, where is the action born? Here we need to understand, there is an anatomy for action. Any action, any human action, deliberate, al-fi'l al-ikhtiyari, the scholars call it al-fi'l al-ikhtiyari, deliberate action. You, it's not a reflex, we're not talking about reflexes, we're not talking about actions that you do when you are sleeping, right? Or random moves, no, we're talking about deliberate actions. How are they, what is the anatomy of the action? The action starts with what? It starts with a belief. It starts with a belief. And from this belief, you extract value. You extract value. We humans are business people by nature. You do not spend from your energy deliberately unless you expect what? Value in return. Profits. You expect profit in return. So this is why you decide actions. You don't do an action without seeing value in it. Okay? It's based on the belief. So how do you judge something has value or offers you value? Based on your beliefs. But again, this is not the most important. But this is where your aqidah comes in, by the way. But where is the action born? With intentions. We call it today we don't call it intentions. We use a different terminology. In the Arabic language, we have words like an-niyya. Scholars say, an-niyyatu min jinsil irada. 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 What is irada in the English language? Will. Will. Drive. Drive. We call it today motivation. What is the motive behind what you do? What is the motivation behind what you do? What is the drive behind what you do? That's the same as intention. So intention is what? Is you feel drawn to do something. You experience a desire. Desire. Desire could be good and could be bad. It's the same as intention. Desire is the same as intention, same as will, the same as motivation. We are talking about the same thing. In the Arabic language, the standard word is irada. One of the words for it, one of the synonyms for it, is niyyah. Niyyah. Another word in English which really helps us capture the meaning of niyyah is purpose.
is purpose. You want to understand niyyah? You can ask one word in English. Why? So when you pray, the question is, why are you praying? Now when you stand to pray Maghrib today, okay, ask yourself, just seconds before you say Allahu Akbar, why am I praying? What is the motivation? What is the value that I'm expecting from this action? What's the payoff? What is the purpose that I'm standing and I'm ready and I want to engage in this action from start to finish? Why? That's intention. That's intention. People think, and they taught us this, I remember in school they taught us this, intention is you actually say to yourself, I'm praying Maghrib for the sake of Allah. نَوَيْتُ أَنْ أُصَلِّيَ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى ثَلَاثْ رَكَعَاتْ فَرْضِ الْمَغْرِبِ. Right? That's how they taught us in school. You're not actually to verbalize, you're not supposed to verbalize the intention, but that's not intention. This is a dialogue, or this is a thought. This is a thought. Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, he actually speaks about intention, and he's a very deep and insightful man. He says, people say that, I want to pray for the sake of Allah, or I want to marry for the sake of Allah. He says, this is not intention, this is not niyyah. He says, this is thinking. هذا حديث النفس. This is an inner dialogue. This is an inner dialogue. He says, this is not the intention. He says intention comes from what? From what you love, which we mentioned earlier, value. You expecting value, something you value, something that's important for you. And this shows you what is the importance of this. So let's complete the anatomy of an action. Intention, motivation, drive, desire, whatever you want to call it, it's the same thing. Will, right? Intention. Intention is the dynamic aspect. It fuels what? It fuels action. It fuels action. Intention is in the heart. Then it fuels action. So every action, deliberate action you see from humans, that includes words, speaking, and it includes physical actions, things you can see, simple actions, and it includes complex actions. The prayer is not a simple action, right? It's a series of things. It has structure. This is action. Every action you see has intention behind it. Every action that is deliberate, that humans do, has intention behind it. Now, actions could look similar. Actions could look similar. A statement came from many of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, that two people standing in the same line, praying the same prayer, and the difference between their prayers is like the difference between the heavens and the earth. Exactly the same actions. Exactly. They perform salah exactly the same. And the difference between their prayers is like the distance between the heavens and the earth. Why? What's the difference? Externally, there's no difference. The same prayer. What is the difference? Intention. This is what this hadith talks about. Actions are by their intentions. And the early generations, the Salaf, كانوا يعتنون بتصحيح العمل قبل الاعتناء بالعمل. They used to pay attention to fixing or setting the actions right before they busy themselves with the action. We today have a trend. We are so busy with doing actions. We're producing, right? Producing. But, like, a lot of actions. But it doesn't occur to us to check the actions, to verify the actions, to inspect our actions. Are they correct? Are they right? Is my intention right? That's more important for the act. That's more important than the action itself. Because the value of your action depends on what? The intention. So if you get the intention right, the action is easy. The most important thing is that you get the intention correct. And the problem with the intention, if you think intention is easy and simple, Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, one of the greatest of the early generations, all of us know Sufyan al-Thawri. قال ما عالجت شيئا أشد علي من نيتي. He said, I never grappled with something more resistant, more troubling to me than my intention. Never found any. لأنها تتقلب علي. Because it keeps flipping and changing. It keeps playing games. Intentions. Who is this? Sufyan al-Thawri, one of the greatest of at-tabi'een. One of the greatest imams of Islam throughout history. Others from his time as well, they said, we'll come to other statements. I forgot that one. But the thing is, intention is the most important thing. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab. He says, وَاللَّهِ لَوْ أَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَبِلَ مِنِّي رَكْعَتَيْنَ لَمَا تَمَنَّيْتُ الْبَقَاءَ فِي الدُّنْيَا. He said, وَاللَّهِ, if I knew that Allah accepted only two rak'ah from me, I would have no desire to stay in this world. I would want to leave it. So the reason he's staying here, he's hoping that one day he would perfect his prayer and two rak'ah would be accepted from him. Why? The intention. We are talking about the intention. So this is why intention is the most important thing that you have to be concerned about. What is the difference? Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says, you would find the hypocrites, al-munafiqoon, praying the same prayer as the companions. And even taking part in jihad as the companions. Giving sadaqah as the companions. He says, what's the difference between the companions and the hypocrites? He says, it's not a visible thing. It's intention. It's intention. Some of the mufassirin, when they talk about the ayah, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا in Surah Al-Furqan. And we came to the actions that they performed, that they did in their life. This is on the Day of Judgment, a scene from the Day of Judgment. We came, we approached all of the action, all their actions, the actions that they did before. فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. And we turned it into what? Into dust, blown dust. Has no value. Why? Many of the scholars of tafsir, they said because their intentions were not sincere. There was no ikhlas. So don't admire the external part of your actions. You always have to inspect your intention. You have to stay on guard all the time when it comes to your intention and never take it for granted. Never take it for granted. And we might think that intention, you know, as long as I'm doing good, I'm praying with people, I'm reading Quran, I'm memorizing Quran, I'm reciting Quran, and I'm giving sadaqah, can this go wrong? Can all of this be like blown dust, like wiped out, nothing? It's very unlikely. Now we humans, you know, the issue with physical perceived reality, you know, seeing reality is very compelling, and that's a problem. That's a problem. You don't want to be deceived by the external image of something. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I don't want to come to these hadith. Okay, let me just give you some of the statements from the early generations about intention. Then we will come to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is very serious and scary. Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu, when the hadith was narrated to him, he passed out. He lost consciousness. He was so petrified. When he heard this hadith, he passed out. He fell unconscious. We'll come to this hadith. An Yahya ibn Abi Kathir, one of the greatest of at-tabi'een, the youngest of at-tabi'een as well. We quoted him in the Friday khutbah. I'll repeat the story as well. قال تعلم النية فإنها أبلغ من العمل. He said, learn intention, meaning learn the fiqh of intention, for it gets you farther than the action. It gets you farther than the action itself. Another translation of أبلغ here, it is more profound and more consequential than the action. فإنها أبلغ من العمل. يوسف بن أصباط, again one of the early generations, he said, تخليص النية من فسادها أشد على العاملين من طول الاجتهاد. He says, purifying the intention is more challenging and more difficult for the worshippers than excessive worship. He says intention is difficult, hard work. Doing a lot of work is easy. But getting the intention right, that's the most challenging and the most difficult thing.
What time today is Maghrib? 26 time.
Okay, sure. قيل لنافع بن جبير, one of the worshippers, ألا تشهد الجنازة? There's janazah. Come and witness this janazah. Come and walk with it, right? Follow the janazah. قال كما أنت حتى أنوي. قال ففكر هنية ثم قال امضي. So there's a janazah. Someone said to him, "There's janazah. You get the reward of walking with the janazah, following the janazah." He said, "Hold on, hold on." So he paused for a moment. He fixed his intention. Then he said, "Let's go." Then he followed the janazah. They took the intention seriously. Ibn al-Mubarak, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, he said, رُبَّ عَمَلٍ صَغِيرٍ تُعَظِّمُهُ النِّيَّةِ. How often, he says, a small action is glorified and magnified by pure intention. وَرُبَّ عَمَلٍ كَبِيرٍ تُصَغِيرُهُ النِّيَّةِ. And how often a great action, a great act of worship is diminished due to poor intention. That's the importance of intention. الفضيل بن عياض رحمه الله says, إنما يريد الله عز وجل منك نيتك وإرادتك. What Allah wants from you is your intention and your will. That's what Allah wants from you. That's what you should focus on. That doesn't mean neglect the actions, because if you have intention, the action will follow. But the most important thing is don't neglect the action. When it comes to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet ﷺ says in hadith collected by Nasa'i, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبَلُ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ إِلَّا مَا كَانَ خَالِصًا وَابْتُغِيَ بِهِ وَجْهُهُ. Allah does not accept, Allah does not accept any action, only those that are made for His sake alone. So if I want to please people, I want to appease people, I want to feel good, right? I want to create a social image, that takes you away from Allah. The action is for these things. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was asked about jihad. A person fights out of what? Protection for others. Hamiyatan. Out of nationality. Or a person fights because he wants to be seen among people. He's a hero. Who is for the sake of Allah? قَالَ مَنْ قَاتَلِ لِتَكُونَ كَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ الْعُلْيَا فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. He who is fighting for the sake of the word of Allah, being the highest, he is for the sake of Allah. Others are not. And here is the scary one. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَنْ طَلَبَ الْعِلْمَ لِيُمَارِيَ بِهِ السُّفَهَا. He who seeks the knowledge of Islam. So this is someone who is studying what? Quran, hadith, طلب العلم, Quran, hadith, عقيدة, fiqh, tariq, history, whatever. من طلب العلم ليماري به السفهاء, in order to get into arguments with argumentative people. أو يجاري به العلماء, or to find a place for him among the scholars. Find a place for himself among these scholars. أَوْ يَصْرِفَ بِهِ وُجُوهَ النَّاسِ إِلَيْهِ. Or to turn people's faces and attention to him. أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ النَّارِ. Allah would throw him in the fire. This is someone doing what? Learning Islamic knowledge. Quran, hadith. Why? Because the intention is not for Allah. Allah does not accept it. Another version of this hadith. No, the hadith that, let's close with the hadith of Muawiyah, the hadith which Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, when he heard this, he, we said, fell unconscious. He passed out. He was scared. أول من تسعر بهم النار يوم القيامة ثلاثة. The first people where the hellfire will be set on them, they will be the first people to burn in the hellfire. First people. شهيد. شهيد. وقارئ أو عالم وكريم. شهيد died in the battle seemingly for the sake of Allah. قارئ, someone who mastered the Quran, not only memorized it but understood it, mastered everything around it, about it, understood the tafsir and all of everything related to the Quran. He became a scholar. And third one, someone who gave generously from his own wealth. He gave abundantly. So they will be brought before Allah. The person who died in the battlefield, Allah would bring his blessings upon this person. فَعَرَّفَهُ إِيَّاهَا. The person would acknowledge them. قَالَ مَا فَعَلْتَ. What did you do? He say, oh Allah, I fought for your sake and I was killed for your sake. قَاتَلْتُ وَقُتِلْتُ فِي سَبِيلِكَ. قَالَ كَذَبْتَ بَلْ قَاتَلْتَ لِيُقَالَ جَرِيءٌ. You fought so that people say he is brave. وَقَدْ قِيلْ خُذُوهُ فِي النَّارِ. أَلْقُوهُ فِي النَّارِ. He thrown in the hellfire. Throw him in the hellfire. Allah will say, throw him in the hellfire. He's in the hellfire. ثُمَّ يُؤْتَى بِالْقَارِئِ فَيُقَالَ مَاذَا فَعَلْتَ. فَيَقُولَ يَا رَبِّ قَرَأْتُ فِيكَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمْتُهُ. Oh Allah, I learned the Quran for your sake and I taught it. I taught it to people. I taught Islam. I taught everything about Islam to people. I learned, right? فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ كَذَبْتْ وَإِنَّمَا قَرَأْتَ لِيُقَالَ قَارِئْ أَوْ عَالِمْ وَقَدْ قِيلْ خُذُوهُ فِي النَّارِ أو خُذُوهُ إِلَى النَّارِ. You lied. You're lying. You studied and you taught so people say about you that you are a scholar or you are a qari' or you are a hafiz or you are whatever, person of knowledge. Throw him in the hellfire. Thrown in the hellfire. ثُمَّ يُؤْتَى بِالْكَرِيمِ فَيُقَالَ ما فعلت فيقول الله ما فعلت يقول يا ربي ما تركت سبيلا من سبل الخير إلا وأنفقت فيه في سبيلك. Oh Allah, I left no avenue for spending good except that I spent in it. Allah, for your sake. فيقول الله كذبت. Allah says you are lying. You're a liar. وإنما أنفقت ليقال جواد أو كريم وقد قيل. But you did that so people say about you he is generous. He's giving, right? He's giving abundantly. He's generous. Throw him in the hellfire. He's thrown in the hellfire. Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu, when he heard this, we said, he passed out. It's scary. Scary. These are things that when you see, like when you see these people, you look up to them, right? Now, are these actions great? Yes, the actions are great, but the intention is corrupted. So what happens? You go to the hellfire. So this is the meaning of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Actions are by their intentions. So if the intention is not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your action will be against you. Your recitation of the Quran will be against you. Your sadaqah will be against you. Your learning will be against you. Your education of teaching others will be against you. The good things that you do will be against you. Why? Because you have not done them for Allah. You betrayed Allah. You've done them for something other than Allah. You saw value with something other than Allah. You see the crime, obviously people say, oh, like why is all of this punishment? Because you're not seeing value with Allah. You're seeing value with other than Allah. You're saying you're getting pay off. Others are more important than Allah. Other gains and other benefits and other payoffs are more important to you than Allah. So what do you expect? This is a betrayal of Allah. This is, you're betraying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the lesson from this? Someone says, oh, don't do good actions. That would be the worst conclusion you can get from this. The most important thing is, you know what? Keep your intention in check. Keep your niyyah in check all the time. Don't feel safe when it comes to your intention. Don't ever. Like you're going to pray, make sure I am, oh Allah, I'm praying because you commanded me and because you love the prayer and I love you and I want to do what you love. That's why I'm praying. That's intention. That's good intention. Intention is not you say to say, I'm going to pray this rak'ah for dhuhr for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is speech. This is not intention. Intention, there is an element of love, purpose. Why am I doing this? What is the payoff? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to pray taraweeh. Yeah, alhamdulillah, the voice of the imam is beautiful, the recitation is wonderful, the congregation is beautiful. This is something that Allah gives you as extra. The main thing, the backbone of all of this is what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah loves to see you standing in prayer and that you are standing in His presence, praying, leaving everything, praying for His sake, listening to His own words, standing in His presence, bowing before Him, prostrating before Him. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah watches you and Allah loves that. Do it in this spirit. Forget about everything else. Everything else is a gift from Allah to you. Khalas, alhamdulillah. It's already tahsilu hasil, as they say. It's already accomplished. You don't need to work on it. Don't worry about people seeing you, oh, I've stayed for the whole tarawih until what? Until like witr or whatever. Don't worry about people. Wallah, no one will be able to benefit you. No one can give you even one hasana. People need Allah as much as you need Him. People need help as much as you need. People have problems as much as you. People need validation as much as you need. So leave people alone. Focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pray for Allah. Fast for Allah. Do dhikr for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't worry about people seeing you, acknowledging you, liking you. Don't worry about none of that. And don't do it out of habit, because that's the other enemy of intention. Don't do it on autopilot. Always, this is why you need this yaqadha. Intention requires yaqadha. I'm always aware. I'm doing this for Allah. This is why I said, ask yourself why. The question of niyyah is why. Why am I going to pray? Why am I going to give this halaqa? Why am I sitting in this halaqa? Right? Why am I fasting? Why am I abstaining? Oh, because everyone does it. No. Allah loves. Allah says, إِلَّا الصِّيَامَ فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. Fasting is for me and I reward for it. Okay? So Allah loves it. Oh Allah, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to abstain from food for you. I'm doing it anyway, but I'm going to bring the intention in. And then that's the reward. This is why one of the tabi'een said, and I'm going to close with this, Abu Bakr, قال ما سبقكم أبو بكر, speaking to the companions, ما سبقكم أبو بكر بكثرة صيام ولا صلاة ولكن بشيء وقر في قلبه. Abu Bakr did not excel. Abu Bakr did not, supersede everyone and leave them all behind among the companions because he prayed the most or he fasted the most. He would pray a lot and he would fast a lot, but not the most. But the reason he was ahead of everyone else, because of something that was in his heart. Something in his heart. That's faith. Faith and sincerity. And sincerity, by the way, is tawheed. Is tawheed. Because I'm worshipping Allah. I'm not worshipping others besides Allah. I don't intend my act of worship for other than Allah. It's tawheed. Don't fall for the technicality of words. Ikhlas is the essence of tawheed. Is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us al-ikhlas. And ikhlas means purity, purity of intention. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us ikhlas and to accept our deeds and to make us from the ones that He frees from the hellfire in this month. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله. And make dua inshallah for yourself, for your family, for the Muslims in Gaza, Palestine, in Sudan, in other areas, and for the Muslims in general, that inshallah you get the reward for them bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Wa sallallahu sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.